Our second scripture lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. This is what Paul has to say to the church in Corinth. He says, "Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though I'm beating the air. But I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to all others, I myself should be not disqualified." I need to confess something this morning. I played sports my entire life. From the time I was 5 or 6 years old up all the way through college, I played sports. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, I swam, I wrestled a little bit. I did, you name the sport, I probably played it. But there's something you need to know about all the sports I ever played is that I hate to run. In the sports that I played, running was always a punishment. I see Flynn out there. I'm sorry. I see you. You know, running 1 or 2 or 3 miles, you know, I get it. And it's part of a routine that you have to do. But it doesn't make it any easier. I say this having run a 5K. And at one point last year, I was working out and I was running about 5 miles twice a week. And maybe it's because I'm a slow runner, but when you have to switch from like a playlist on your iPod to audiobooks because it's more productive for you, you can get 2 or 3 chapters in an audiobook read while you are listening. Maybe it's too far to run, in my opinion. That's just me. When I would run, my feet would hurt, my knees would hurt, my side would hurt. I get thirsty. There was no one standing there handing me water. I mean, I see that on TV. And not to mention it at all, but I've seen enough videos of people running marathons who get right to the end and their legs just give out. And they're like deer and they try to stand up and their legs are so tired and so exhausted that they end up crawling to the finish line to finish the race. I see this and I realize that running is not fun. I can find a million reasons why not to run. First, it's hot outside. I just ate. Who's going to watch the kids? It's hot outside. I'm tired. My feet hurt. My iPod isn't charged. This couch is so comfortable. But despite my reasons, I know how important running is for me and in all the sports I ever played, how important it was to part of that sport. We might be wondering what this has to do with anything today, but today we're going to look at Paul's letter in Corinth and see how our lives are compared to a race. See, anyone can finish a race. It doesn't take any skill to finish a race. If we had a race right now to Fellowship Hall, we could all make it. There's no doubt in my mind. We would not need to train for that. We would not need to like stretch before that. We could all make it. Some faster, some slower, but we would all make it. But to win a race, that's a different story. Before a runner prepares to win a race, they must go into a lot of training. Not just days before or moments before they race, but oftentimes weeks, months, and even years of training before they win a race. Another thing that they must do is they must know where their goal is. If I were to say we're going to race, go. Everyone would just sit there just like that. Perfect. I would win because I'm the only one that knows where the finish line is. Yes. It helps to know where you're running. It helps to know where you're going. Because if you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you're running, you have no idea how far, how to pace yourself, how long it's going to take. So you must know where the end point is. And the last thing we must do if we're going to win a race is to run the race in a way in which we are going to win. It's not giving 80% and expecting to win. It's not giving 90% and expecting to win. It's giving your 100% and then hoping that that's good enough to win. Although Paul is talking about running in this scripture lesson, we don't have to be runners to understand what he is talking about here. If you've competed in anything in your life, you know what I'm talking about. If you've played any sport, if you've played in a band, if you've danced or sung or worked on a car, you've gone to school, if you've had a job, you know what Paul is talking about. I don't know anyone who became a professional athlete by the first time they picked a ball up. I don't even know if it's possible. I don't know anyone who, when they picked up a guitar for the first time, could sit down and play like Eric Clapton. Maybe, but I don't know anybody. Again, I haven't met any children who have skipped adding and subtracting and gone straight to calculus. Because it takes steps to get to where we're going. It takes lots of time. It takes lots of practice. It takes lots of commitment. And it takes lots of hard work to be good. In Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Outliers, he says in his research that he found that it takes between 5,000 and 7,000 hours to be good at something. If you want to take it to the next level and be great, it takes 10,000 hours of practice to be great at something. To put that in perspective, that is 40 hours a week for almost 5 years. Working on something to be great at it. So this overnight sensation that you just found has probably not been overnight. It's probably taken years of cultivating a skill to become great. It takes hard work and determination to get to be great at something. And oftentimes we find ourselves working hard to be great at a sport or to be great at school. We work hard in school so then we can get a good job. And we work hard at our job so we can get promoted. Someone will notice. Then we get promoted and we do that so we get more money. And we get more money so we can live more comfortably and live nicer lives. But Paul tells us in Scripture here that people who train for this kind of race, to a race for money and prizes, train for a prize that will not last. But Christians, we should train for a crown that will last forever. Think about your life for a minute. Think about how hard you work the grades to get good grades, how hard you work in your job or you did in your past job. Think about all the projects you've done. Think about all the meetings you've sat in, all the bosses you've served, all the teachers you had to study under, your coworkers that you had to tolerate, the classmates that you had to tolerate as well. Think about all of that. And what's it for? Now think about the time you spend in Bible study, the time you spend in prayer, the time you spend showing Jesus' love to the rest of the world. What race are we running? And what prize are we running for? This morning, in just a few minutes, we will celebrate with 13. One of them actually has got the same thing Dr. Abram does, so she is not with us this morning. 13 of our youth who started out this confirmation process in January. Their goal of this in January was to come forward and to say that they want to publicly confess that they want to follow Jesus. In January, they made the decision to start that process, to start that training, to start to learn about what it means to be a Christian and to be confirmed in the church today. They want to confirm something that each and one of their parents had affirmed in them at their baptism. And although today is a day of great celebration, we're not celebrating the end of confirmation. We're celebrating the beginning or the next step in the race. Today, we are celebrating with these 13 new runners that the training that they've gone through to this point and the work that they have left ahead of them. And for those who have stood in their place, you know what I'm talking about. It is not all downhill from here. We're not confirmed and life gets easy. You know that the training that has gotten you to this far is only just begun. It will have to continue to sustain you in your lives. And unless we all continue and you continue to work each and every day, it will fall away. Jesus tells us in Matthew that if we want to become a follower, we want to follow Jesus, we want to be his disciple, if we want to win the race, that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. Luke's verse, he throws in the word daily. He says we must pick up our cross daily and follow him. So I can't just, I was telling people before I moved here, I was about 30 pounds lighter and I was working out 4 to 5 times a week. Through the interviewing process, I had my appendix out. I smashed my ankle in church softball. And I have not really worked out very much until last Saturday. And now I'll get to that. But I didn't just get back into the gym and pick up where I left off in September. I had to start from fresh. But picking up that cross and choosing each day to follow Jesus is not something that comes easy to us. If it was, again, like a marathon, more people would do it. The moment we leave here today, the moment we walk out those doors, the world will tell us to run a different race. We'll be told that our goals that we should run for is to get good grades, that the most important thing in life is to get a good job, that we need to have a nice spouse, that we need to have a perfect 1.5 children to do everything you ask and never scream at any appropriate time. And by the way, that was my daughter who was up here screaming, so I'm doing something wrong. No. That's what the world tells us how we should live. If the world had it its way, we would run that race. And at the end of our lives, there'd be nothing left. Paul knew that there was more in store for us than just the things of this world. He chose every day to pick up his cross to follow Jesus. And we think, look at Paul and think, oh, he had it easy. But Paul didn't have it easy at all. You talk about having hard times. Paul was thrown in prison multiple times. People tried to kill him for his faith multiple times. He was shipwrecked. A snake bit him. And people tried to kill him because the snake bite didn't kill him. They thought he was a sorcerer and they wanted to kill him. And in fact, Paul did not have a cell phone to update Instagram or Facebook to let people know how he was doing. I don't know how he survived. Yet by choosing to pick up his cross, by choosing to pick it up daily and follow in Jesus' footsteps, it made him strong. Like any great athlete who trains day in and day out, choosing to pick up our cross daily makes us strong. Strong enough to face anything that comes our way. It was through his faith that Paul had in Jesus that he had the strength in the good times and the bad times to face tomorrow. There was nothing extraordinary about Paul. He was a man who worked every day to walk in Jesus' footsteps. Paul did not just sit in a room and read his scripture and pray to God. That's not the kind of training he did. It wasn't like he did some solo work reading the Bible. Paul did spend time in scripture. He did spend much time in prayer. But he also took his cross with him everywhere he went in the world. He never left it behind. Every day when he was in prison, every day while people were throwing rocks at him, it would have been very easy for him to set that cross down and walk away. Yet he didn't. He continued to carry the cross despite how heavy it felt at times. When Paul was with his friends, he even carried his cross. When he was with his enemies, he carried his cross. Every day, from the time Paul encountered Jesus on that road to the day he died, he chose to pick up his cross and follow Jesus. The same is true for us. Whether you have been running the race for 6 years or 60 years, you know that it takes a daily commitment to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus isn't something that we just are great at. We're not just, oh my gosh, I am a biblical scholar because today I am confirmed in the church. We will make mistakes. We will fall down. You will get hurt. We will find ourselves running aimlessly on a track. We have no idea where it's going. And that's okay. But what is important that is even when we fail, even when we fall, even when we get lost, what is important is that we get up the next day and we pick up that cross and follow him. Today I want to issue a challenge, not just for those being confirmed today, but for all of us here who are reminded of the commitments we made at some point in time to be a part of God's church. I challenge you today to start cross training. I challenge you to choose to pick up your cross today in discipleship and carry it with you everywhere you go. Everyone here, though, has a different need. Everyone here has a different desire. Some of you spend every day in the Word. Some of you don't. So for those who don't, you don't need to say, I'm going to spend 5 hours in the Word, because that's an unrealistic goal. But maybe 5 minutes is a good target. We all have different goals. We're all at different places. But we all must run the race. And that is my challenge to you. I'm not asking you to do this for 20 years. I'm not asking you to do it for a year. I'm asking you to simply pick up the cross today and follow him. And then tomorrow when you wake up, I'm going to ask you again to think to yourself, today do I choose to follow Jesus, or am I just leave that cross behind? By the end of our lives, if we continue to pick that cross up day in and day out, when the world throws us bones, when they throw grenades at us, when storms hit, we will be strong enough to face it. As you head off to work tomorrow, as you head off to school, I want you to decide whether or not you will pick up that cross, or you'll just let it sit there on your shelf. Or maybe better yet, you'll tuck it up behind the closet so you don't have to look at it and feel guilty that it's there. At the end of the day, only you will know how hard you worked. Only you will be able to say, I ran the race. And I ran it and I gave 100%. Or today I was only able to give 10%. But it doesn't matter what you did today, because you always have tomorrow. But having said that, you should never put off for tomorrow what you can do today. In closing, I want to end with this. Again, as I mentioned, I just started back on Saturday, last Saturday, with working out. And after working out on this first time in a long time, I spent the day, Mother's Day weekend, throwing children in the pool. And on Monday, I sat in my chair all day and could barely move because my legs were so sore. But as I walked into the gym, there's a sign on the door that says, please check your egos at the door. And I read that and I think to myself, I don't have to prove to anybody in that gym other than myself that I'm doing the best. So if somebody who's twice my age is running circles around me, I don't have to compete against that person. If someone half my body weight is putting up three times the amount of weight that I am, I'm not competing against that person. I'm simply doing the best I can today. And when it comes to cross training and following Jesus, we too must check our egos at the door. It doesn't matter what someone else does or doesn't do. Simply give your best. Give your all. Run the race as to win. So that at the end of the long day, when we finally set that cross down by the edge of our bed, when we finally lay our heads down to sleep, we might hear the words of our Savior say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.